It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Last week, House Republicans passed President Trump's signature spending plan. That bill included substantial cuts to Medicaid funding. Analysts estimate that the changes will affect thousands of Wisconsinites enrolled in programs like Badger Care Plus, in part because of new eligibility requirements for some recipients.
The funding cuts and new requirements around Medicaid could also create new challenges for rural hospitals that are already under financial stress.
Donna Friedsam is a distinguished researcher emerita and former health policy programs director at UW-Madison. Donna, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Good to be with you.
Before we get to the new legislation, can you remind us what Medicaid funds in Wisconsin? It shows up under a number of different labels and names.
Medicaid includes what people frequently refer to as Badger Care or Badger Care Plus in Wisconsin, and sometimes Forward Health. People may have a card in their wallets labeled as Forward Health, and it funds 20% of Wisconsin residents overall, one in five. About 40% of all births in Wisconsin, 40% of children are covered by Medicaid, and 60% of people in nursing homes and long-term care are elderly and disabled people.
When you see the final version of this bill now passed by Congress, what caught your eye? What are some of the most important changes to Medicaid that we're seeing?
Well, there's a number of changes in this bill, and one of the things I want to make sure to emphasize while I'm with you is that the bill makes changes to Medicaid and also has effects to the Affordable Care Act, which goes hand in hand with Medicaid, which will have significant effects to coverage in Wisconsin overall. And so in Medicaid, what we've been hearing about a lot is the work requirements, and what it's going to require is that what are called able-bodied adults ages 19 to 64 who do not have children under age 14 will need to demonstrate and document that they are working or otherwise training or attending school for at least 80 hours monthly. And that does not mean that these people are not already doing so, but that there will be new documentation and reporting requirements for these people. It also includes new requirements for enrolling in and renewing coverage twice a year. So every 6 months, everybody who is in Medicaid will need to demonstrate their eligibility for the program in order to continue to be in the program. And then there are new co-payments associated with the program participation for people who are visiting providers. And then various things that don't directly affect the consumer, but will affect the financing of the program related to how providers are how money gets transferred to providers and how the program pulls down money from the federal government, which are referred to as provider taxes.
Let's look at those bureaucratic requirements for people seeking Medicaid coverage. You mentioned the work requirements and then those twice a year renewals. That might not sound so bad. Is there a thought that, though, those would be barriers, these would be obstacles that prevent people who are eligible for Medicaid coverage from getting it because of those requirements?
That is the significant concern that many people have for this program. What we have seen in other states, several other states over the past decade have tested work requirements, most notably Arkansas, but other states as well. And we do have evidence to show that work requirements cost states a lot of money to administer because we need states to verify people are working and how many hours they're working or attending school or caring for a sick or needy relative. And they need to collect all the information. But people, they have difficulty running those systems, and people have difficulty complying with all of the reporting requirements. So what we've seen in other states and in Arkansas is that many of the people who are eligible for the program and are, in fact, working have still lost their coverage simply because of the paperwork requirements. What the Government Accountability Office and the CBO have projected is savings from these requirements, not because of people who are ineligible, who are not working, losing coverage, but simply because people are becoming uninsured.
How big a share of Medicaid recipients are we talking about here? This notion that, these are, for the work requirements in particular, I should say, these are able-bodied adults with no kids. How substantial a portion of Medicaid coverage is that category?
Oh, it's a very minor percentage of overall Medicaid enrollees. What we have in Wisconsin right now is we have about 190,000 what we refer to as childless adults enrolled in Badger Care. But what we know from other studies is about 64% of childless adults who are enrolled in Medicaid are already engaged in employment. They just don't get health coverage through their employment. And that the other 25 to 30% of those people are in school or caring for a sick relative or somebody else in need in their household. So there may be like 6 to 8% of that group who would not otherwise be either working or in school. And generally that group, you heard about, from members of Congress, they're concerned that we have, young men sitting in their basements watching video games or playing video games or whatever. That group is generally people who are just temporarily moving through the program. And maybe there are very few people who, yes, are sitting on the program. Young men do not generally use health care. And so it's not a big cost to the program.
On that note, some supporters of these changes have said this will keep undocumented immigrants from using various Medicaid programs. My understanding is for most, I don't know, programs, they wouldn't be eligible even before this legislation. Do I have that right?
There is no eligibility for undocumented immigrants in Medicaid except for emergency Medicaid for women who are in labor and delivering at the hospital. So undocumented immigrants in Wisconsin don't otherwise have access to coverage through the Medicaid program. And so when an undocumented immigrant woman appears at a hospital, she will have temporary coverage to pay the hospital for the delivery of her of her baby. And that coverage will only deal with that episode. And that's all. There are new restrictions, however, from this bill for fully legally present immigrants and refugees who have come in this country legally and have been authorized by the U.S. government to be in this country as refugees who will no longer be eligible for the program.
Donna Friedsam is with us, former health policy programs director at UW-Madison, emerita researcher there, looking at the new budget bill, what it means for Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act in Wisconsin. Donna, you mentioned changes to the Affordable Care Act. What do you see there that could impact us here in Wisconsin?
So I also want, this is an important thing I think for people to be aware of, is that along with these changes to Medicaid, there are going to be changes in the Affordable Care Act, where there's going to be quite a few new rules for enrollment verification. There's going to be restrictions in the time frame for people to enroll. And there will no longer be what's called automatic re-enrollment. So in Wisconsin right now, we have about 300,000 Wisconsin residents enrolled in the ACA marketplace, and about a third of them rely on automatic re-enrollment every year rather than resubmitting all of their paperwork and every year. And that will no longer exist. So every year, people will need to go through the process again in order to continue their plans. This is expected to create a barrier to continued coverage. But in addition, the premiums, the enhanced premium tax credits that we've had over the past 4 or 5 years are not going to continue. So what the actuarial firms are projecting is that we're going to see up to a 75% increase in overall premiums in the marketplace over the coming year, could work out to an average of about $1,300 annually. It's important to note that while a lot of people who take coverage in the marketplace do have access to subsidies, in Wisconsin, we actually have quite a few people who are up into the middle incomes who rely on marketplace coverage. And we have quite a few people ages 55 to 64 pre-Medicare who rely on market price coverage, who are not low income necessarily. These people, these residents, will be seeing substantial increases in their premiums. So all of these things are expected to increase the or decrease people's ability to participate or access health insurance coverage and likely increase the uninsured in our state.
In just our last minute, another big point of concern, Donna, hospitals, especially rural hospitals and their financial situation. What are you watching for the impact of this bill?
Well, you've all seen the headlines that rural hospitals are going to be stressed. We did see a bill in the budget bill in the state, kind of a last minute effort for the state to be able to pull down additional federal matching dollars through Medicaid, $1.1 billion, that should help the rural hospitals somewhat. So I think they will be able to get more money to help. But I think it's unfortunate that what we're doing is we're providing these emergency funds to save the hospitals because we're taking away insurance coverage for individuals. I think it's going to stress hospitals overall. We do see a lot of projections that, about 30,000 people in rural Wisconsin will lose their Medicaid coverage. And we have quite a number of rural hospitals that'll be stressed with this changes ahead.
Donna, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Donna Friedsam, Distinguished Researcher Emerita and former Health Policy Programs Director at UW-Madison. Been talking about how the passage of the new federal budget bill could affect Medicaid and Badger Care recipients in Wisconsin, along with rural clinics and hospitals.